Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright podcast for this Monday, December 20th. My name is Ian Saunders, and joining us here as well today is Will Gibson. And Will, we're coming in to a shortened market week, a shortened trading week this week going on in domestic equity markets with the upcoming Christmas holiday coming up this Saturday. We're going to have markets closed on Friday, Christmas Eve, and observing for that Christmas holiday there. So only 4 days during this week of market action, but we kick things off on day number one with no shortage of action, definitely much more action than we would typically see around this time of the year. Been a fair amount of movement, fair amount of volatility pickup in most of the domestic equity markets throughout the course of the past couple weeks. And so to kick things off on this podcast today, we wanted to jump in and take a look at or discuss some of the different movement we've seen really over the course of the past week. So there is a significant amount of news headlines over the course of the past several days with Fed decision action coming last week and then some uncertainty and unlikelihood from the Build Back Better infrastructure plan that was announced over the weekend. And markets seemed to take that certainly as a negative sign. We got some negative movement last week from the S&P 500 index, which was amplified in movement this Monday, the 20th. We're seeing the S&P down a little bit over 1.5%, around 1.6% right now, which is bringing the 20-point chart of the S&P 500 down to give a return to a sell signal and bring it down to a chart level of 4540. So we previously, back in November, saw the S&P pull back from all-time highs, get two consecutive sell signals. December saw a rally back up the beginning of the month, a little bit of a push back into upward territory, two consecutive buy signals on that 20-point chart. And now with market movement last Friday carried into today, continues lower down to that 4540 level. I think one thing in particular to note, we do have near-term support offered there on that 4520 on that 20-point chart, that December low, definitely going to be an area to keep an eye out for. Will and I have been were discussing earlier that 4,500 level, though. This is a 20-point chart, so that not movement below 4,500 needs to get down to 4,480 to add an additional O. But that 4,500 levels really kind of seem to be a line of demarcation of a lot of the volatility that we've seen throughout the course of the past couple weeks. So that 4,520 and that 4,500 level are certainly going to be pretty notable areas to keep an eye out here as we move into the last week of the year, last 2 weeks of the year here in 2021. The index has just kind of been bouncing around the midpoint on its trading band throughout the course of the past several weeks. A lot of volatility, a lot of movement to the downside, upside, and now the downside again. But we're now just crossing back into oversold conditions there for the broader S&P 500 index. So kind of moving around the center point after a big rally we got there in the October and into November timeframe, moving around the midpoint on that trading band is maybe not all that immediately concerning given the near-term support that we're seeing. But if we do see some of the support violated, we've seen some individual support violated on some individual stocks, bringing some of the other indicators, the other technical indicators we have a little bit lower. Definitely going to be a point to harp on that we'll talk about more in just a sec here. But from a straight looking position of the chart, we do have that near-term support offered. We're just now crossing back into oversold conditions for the S&P there, although we've seen a little bit more deterioration for some of the other indices, and specifically the NASDAQ composite, that broader NASDAQ composite index. A little bit bigger chart scale that we'll use there. We'll use the 50-point chart. It really kind of shows a more descriptive picture of the more recent movement. You widen that chart scale out to a 50-point for those that might be following along there on the subscription platform. That chart's given now three consecutive sell signals. Also saw some consolidation-like movement around the midpoint on its trading band that's kind of broken a little bit more to the downside for the NASDAQ composite. The S&P with today's move is about 4.5% off of its all-time chart high. Today's move on the NASDAQ composite is going to bring it down to a chart level of 14,900 on that 50-point chart, which is about 8% off of its all-time chart high up there at 16,200. So a little bit more notable deterioration that we've seen from the larger NASDAQ composite index. And a lot of that has been because of some of the individual sector moves that we've seen a little bit underneath the hood. Technology has seen a little bit more of a hit, whereas will some other areas have held up a little bit better. But definitely another point that we do want to touch on, talking about the oversold conditions for the S&P just now crossing back into oversold territory. The NASDAQ composite is now at an intraday oversold level of just over 30% oversold. So about 31% oversold with today's move, about down a little bit over 1.5% there, which actually we haven't seen the NASDAQ get down into that oversold conditions many times throughout the year. It got there back in March, April timeframe, and it got there back at the beginning of October before rallying higher. So this kind of briefly kind of moving into these oversold conditions that we're getting down here to today, it's kind of been the extent of a lot of the losses and looking at it from a 10-week trailing trading band perspective. Definitely an interesting point to monitor here, but there's been some other interesting moves, Will, that we see going on throughout domestic equity markets.
Yeah, definitely, Ian. And I think that's a good framework to have those chart levels in mind coming into this week and coming into the next 2 weeks. A holiday abbreviated period. Just a few other comments that we were talking about before, I think would be useful to have in people's minds as well. That 4,500 level, you could see some, not just technical support there, but some other sentiment around that 4,500 level on the S&P 500. So I would double down on a point to note there. Like Ian said, a lot of the major market indices are just pulling back just below the middle of their 10-week trading bands. If you were to look beginning of the year to now, you may consider this is just a healthy pullback at the moment. But if you look under the surface, if you follow other market technicians, you're seeing a lot of discussion about deteriorating breadth in the market, meaning a lack of participation to the upside from a variety of indices this year. It's been kind of miraculous. Actually, we were talking on many months back about the rotation between growth value back to growth sector rotations, that you weren't seeing bigger corrections in the market. So maybe this is time when we're actually seeing some of that catch up, some of that handing off of the baton from sectors to stocks to sizes break down a little bit here. A few of the indicators that we track breadth with, I just wanted to mention a few today, are bullish percent. So the percentage of stocks on point and figure buy signals. And we do this for a variety of universes. So on the New York Stock Exchange, intraday reading, this is going below 40%. So 39% on the bullish percent for the New York Stock Exchange. That's a low we haven't seen since April of 20. That was on the recovery, I would say, but at least April of 20. The bullish percent for the OTC down at 31%. That was surprising to me. Bullish percent for the S&P 500 is also going below 50% today, intraday reading at 48%, NDX bullish percent, 45%. So well under half of stocks are trading on point and figure buy signals after today's move. That's not a great sign. That's not a sign that we typically like to see in recovering markets or markets that we believe, at least for the near term, have further upside to go. So those are some things that you should have on your radar. I would say, as Ian was alluding to before, some of these are moving into oversold and near-term washed out conditions, especially on the sector front. So take, for example, aerospace airlines, that's down at 27%. So only 27% of stocks are on buy signals in that sector right now. Gaming, 23%. Internet, 19%. I mean, horrible participation in internet. Leisure, 23%. Machinery and tools, 30%. I could go on, but there's a lot of areas that are getting pretty oversold and pretty washed out. We're not really looking to bottom fish by our research. You know, we're not looking to buy in those deep columns of O's, but setting alerts for reversals up on those bullish percent charts out of washed out territory, I think, is something to pay mind of here. So I wanted to make a first note on the market breadth there through those indicators. And then also, as Ian, as you were saying before, I'm reminded that, so we are, let's see, so you say we're about, what, 4% just over off our S&P highs. We're 8% off our highs on the NASDAQ. I mean, that's astounding to see this little breadth with that little of a pullback. So that's pretty surprising to me. Been a surprise, especially in the month of December, a very strong month seasonally, second half of the month especially, you see a lot of that strength, but we just haven't seen that this go around, at least broad market wise. Sector wise, we have seen some areas do very well, and given the recent weakness in the market, some of you may be guessing that some of the more defensive areas are doing well, and that is the case. consumer staples being one of them, has had a strong month in December, at least relatively speaking to other sectors. It hasn't been snazzy. It hasn't been putting up double-digit returns, but it's been depreciating less than the rest of the market. Technology, energy, especially consumer discretionary as well, faring better than its counterpart in that realm. And you can look at this a variety of ways. If you're familiar with our research and with our tools, DALI, that dynamic asset level investing, longer term macro strength signal. And in that reading, you have staples picking up the most signals this month. And conversely, you have cyclicals losing the most signals this month. Typically not a direction that you would like to see for an improving kind of bullish market environment. You could also look at the group scores page. The staples or non-cyclicals classified there has the second highest group score direction. So given those funds, their technical scores in that staples group, they have the second highest average score direction of all sectors behind utilities, another typically defensive sector, I would add. And then even if you look at it from a market representative like XLP, that Spider Staples Fund, that actually just printed a new all-time chart high last week at $76. You have consecutive consecutive buy signals there as well. So a fair amount of participation on that front. You got an acceptable fund score, strong fund score direction there as well. Underneath the hood of that staple fund, I would signify some caution still. It is in the basement kind of our longer term macro rankings, but there are some really strong individual names that maybe we can get into a bit later. Just high level, staples have been interesting to watch because they haven't been as sensitive to that growth value battle that we've seen. They haven't been as interest rate for that matter, or COVID or tax rate sensitive, typically lower beta, so being kind of lower systematic risk in that regard. But those are going to be some interesting areas to pay mind of, and maybe something worth looking at adding to a portfolio, being those high RS names, getting away from some of that cyclicality and sensitiveness of the other sectors right now. But Ian, it's really interesting, December. I know we've used the word interesting a lot here, but I think that's the best word to describe it. It's not following seasonal norms. VIX was low coming into December. So mid-November, we were watching that. We were expecting some type of uptick in volatility, a bit of a market pullback, but maybe not to this degree, or at least in the way that it looks now.
Yes, certainly. I mean, it's always difficult to kind of pinpoint exactly when movement's going to occur, and certainly no shortage of stuff going on outside of the price movement that we're looking at every day. A lot of stuff going on kind of driving this price movement, right? But I mean, looking at some of these movements, looking at some of these indicators, whether it's the participation side of things, to kind of provide some perspective on where things sit relative to historical times. I mean, like you're talking about, we've seen some declining participation specifically on the BP and YSE. And I think there's been a lot of comparisons. I mean, we're coming in towards the Christmas time of the year, right? Everyone remembers, as long as you were in the business a few years ago, the Christmas Eve that occurred in 2018 saw some pretty sharp deterioration there, and obviously drawing kind of signs of or warning signs. I mean, could that be to come? And while we certainly can't know for sure, we can look at the participation readings that saw then and that we're seeing now. And there are some similarities, but there's some notable differences. The time period back then saw the bullish percent for the NYSE reverse down into a column of O's in October, and so show a sharp drawdown from a chart level of 58% all the way down to a chart level of 30%. So 28% movement there in 1 month, from upper levels down to low levels that we saw there from a participation standpoint. Carry that forward to where we are currently. We saw a chart level that's really seen a drop, a similar looking drop, but at more elevated positioning. More names were had stronger technical standing when we began this drawdown this time in November. We fell down to a chart level of 42% from 64%. So that 22% move, and we reversed back up into a column of X's at 48, and now we're just now kind of crossing back beneath that 40% threshold, at least at the time of this recording, looking like that might occur this afternoon. So not nearly as anywhere near the low levels, kind of beneath the 30, all the way, bullish percent dropped all the way down to 16% back in the fourth quarter of 2018. So So we're still seeing some elevated positioning. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind when you're looking at individual positions, when you're looking at individual sector moves. I mean, those stronger technical names underneath the hood of some of these areas, whether you're looking at Staples, well, like you touched on, I think some of the Staples names that you might touch on here in a sec. I mean, those stronger technical names within there aren't just starting to improve now. They've shown some improvement throughout time. And we're seeing some relative consistency carried over into some other areas as well. I mean, you look at the technology sector, that's taken the brunt of a lot of this decline. The reason why we're seeing an 8% drawdown from the NASDAQ composite, largely due to a lot of the big technology names within there. But in looking underneath the hood at some of the movement we've seen within the technology space, obviously a big sector, a lot of names within the tech sector, a lot of different kinds of names. Looking at stuff like the asset class group scores page, the sector view on the group scores page provides some perspective on this move. We saw technology that was scoring the technology group. So for those that might not be as familiar, might not be following along, the group scores page ranks groupings of funds by fund score. So 0 to 6, 0 being the worst, 6 being the best. And financials and technology were kind of the higher scoring sector groups throughout much of the past several months. Financials is still hanging around an average score north of 4.0, favorable positioning as we look towards it. Technology's pulled back down to an average fund score of 3.34 through Friday's move. Likely might fall a little bit lower after movement Monday, but it's kind of middle of the pack, still in the upper territory when you compare it against every group that we have on the platform, kind of middle of the pack from a sector perspective. Going to be looking at a little bit more near-term movement in some of the strictly relative strength-based rankings, but still not showing some underperformance against some groups, but not showing that much kind of drawdown deterioration among the rest of the broad groups. Looking at some of the more focused areas in technology, though, like internet, that's where you really see that deterioration, that drawdown coming into play. The internet group has fallen down to a rank of 130th out of the 135 groups that we have, whereas the broader technology group is ranked 34th with movement through Friday. Internet's the lowest ranked sector of any of the sector representatives that we have on that group score system. And so that really kind of shows some discrepancy that we've seen from an area that's been strong throughout the year in technology, showing some real weakness a bit with some of the names underneath the hood there. So those that are looking at exposure, those that are looking at broader exposure, maybe not looking to make a bunch of moves from a rotational standpoint as we head into the last couple of weeks of the year, but cutting the losses on some of those weaker technical names, focusing on those names that might have broken down from an attribute perspective, fallen into weak attribute thresholds, broken through trend lines. And those are positions that you're going to want to reevaluate and potentially look to remove as we look toward what will hopefully be an improved 2022 view there, Will.
Yeah, and I think there's a good point in there in that it pays to know what not to own as much as it pays to know what to own. So core tenet of trend following momentum is going to be letting those winners run and cutting your losses short. So this is a time, like what Ian was saying, if you're getting weak attributes, you're getting trend violations, consecutive sell signals, to remain unemotional and looking to kind of scale out of those positions when given the opportunity. And as Ian mentioned, we're kind of going the other way. I did want to leave you with some Staples ideas. This is not an kind of overtly macro defensive suggestion by any means, because more often than not, if you look at historical market price history, it's a time to buy, not a time to sell. Natural bias going upward is very hard to fight in the market, but some consistent trends that we have seen in that Staples group. Costco, I have to mention, has been a leader this year. It's up 45% year to date. It's down almost 1% today, but 5 attribute name, well-placed in the matrix, long-term relative strength. Really nothing negative at this point to say technically about Costco, and that's been a trend for all of this year. Other names that I would mention would be Kroger, another high attribute sitting in a column of X's, matches all-time chart high on with action on Friday at 47, well-placed in its sector matrix as well. So this is another name to consider if you're looking for something. It's actually up 1% on the day, so very positive diverger on that front. And then Estee Lauder would have to be another one that's been very consistent, overall positive trend, recently upticked to a 4 attribute stock, long-term relative strength. So each of those three names, I think, could be an opportune area if you're looking for some Staples exposure, you're looking for something a bit lower beta, less sensitive to the market dynamic that's going on right now. that you all could take a look at today.
Yeah, absolutely, Will. And kind of like we touched on initially there, I mean, no shortage of stuff that's going on the market. Even though many of you might be on vacation, hopefully we're still able to take vacation, even with the uptick in movement that we've seen throughout the course of the past week. Those that are around and are looking for kind of more insight, those are just that are subscribers to the platform and looking for more kind of information or knowledge of what's going on from a technical perspective. I mean, as always, more than welcome to reach out to us here, the NASDAQ Dorsey Wright Analyst Team. We'll be around. Markets are closed Friday, so we will not be around and available on Friday. But other than that, we'll be around and be more than happy to help you out with any questions or concerns that you may have. So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up for our second to last podcast in 2021. Hard to believe. I feel like we were just kicking off the year here a couple months ago there, Will. But again, nonetheless, I hope wish everybody a happy holidays, Merry Christmas if you and your family are celebrating that. And we look forward to speaking with you all next week.